I'm Farai Chidea, sitting in for Adora Udoji. Eating healthy doesn't mean eating organic anymore. How are you choosing what's healthy these days? Are you looking for something specific on the package? Not buying peanut butter, eating organic meat? Do brands matter? Or are you giving up the idea of eating healthy altogether in this bad economy?
You know, my strategy is if you see the skull and crossbones, don't eat it.
Well, if it's on hot sauce, you can eat it. Other than that,
That's right.
Anyway, we want your stories about food. Are you eating poorly in this bad economy? And how do you make sure your food is safe? Tell us your stories at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. And they've been staples in our diets and our kitchens. I'm talking about tomatoes, spinach, and peanut butter, just to name some of the foods that have been tainted by E. coli or salmonella. Food-related illnesses, some fatal, have sparked nationwide concerns over food safety, and it's generally thought you can assure your food is safe by buying organic, free of preservatives and the like. Even the president is worried, though, especially about peanut butter.
That's what Sasha eats for lunch, probably three times a week. And, you know, I don't want to have to worry about whether she's going to get sick as a consequence of having her lunch.
New York Times reporter Kim Severson did some digging and found out that organic certification is not necessarily a guarantee of food safety. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Hey, Kim.
I'm doing great. How's our food doing?
Well, it depends on what you eat. News has not been good on the food front, and, you know, the peanut butter scare has got everybody worried. There's this idea that if it was in the package, somehow it was safe, you know, that if it was in that nice, clean package, and peanut butter is certainly climbed over that wall. Now, organic food, I think a lot of people were surprised to find organic food on that list, the list of 3,000 items that are now being recalled. There's a sense that there's a halo, you know, that organic food is safer somehow. And, you know, organic does not necessarily mean pathogen-free, although I think there was a time back before the federal government got involved, back before organics began became a $20 billion business, that organics perhaps meant a little something about food safety. I'm not sure that's always the case now, although certainly there are some very fine organic products.
But for my biology class, it would make sense that with fewer preservatives, they'd be more likely of having pathogens in there. I mean, duh, I'm just a high school biology student.
Well, a lot of what happens is food processing is when pathogens, and we saw that with E. coli. So here you have something that maybe if you ate something in a day or two would be fine, or if you didn't have cows that were eating corn and getting sick and developing this E. coli bacteria in their stomach, then, you know, they eliminate that. It runs onto the crops. We eat the crops. So, you know, you could argue that big agriculture has made food inherently unsafe in some ways. But then you also have this organic spinach that then gets put in a bag. The bag sits around for 10 or 12 days and gets shipped across the country. Lots of time for that E. coli to grow. So this is an overall system that builds in problems.
What is the state of regulation? I mean, is this something that has where the laws are good, but they're not being enforced, or where the laws are problematic?
I think there's some really good organic food inspectors. There's some people who are true believers who came out of the organic movement, who helped the organic laws get codified in 2002 is when we got our federal organic standards, and you started to see those little green and white labels on the packaging. There are a lot of people who are on the advisory board for those. A lot of good inspectors out there, people who approach it like a CSI episode, and they look to see if certain crops are coming up too soon. Maybe that's an indication that pesticides are being used. They do investigative work, and they really do assure that the food is going according to the labels.
So there's like a spinach SWAT team
yes,
of
there
folks?
Is.
There really is?
They wear black, and they're in the field. You can't really see them. But at the same time, the system is set up so that if I have something and I'm like, I want an organic seal, I pay a guy to come out, look at my fields, double-check things, check my paperwork, and give me organic certification. Then I pay them every year to keep that up. So there's a certain incentive for the inspectors to make sure that that farm is certified. Do things, you know, mess up? Well, in the case of the peanut factories, yeah, things got messed up.
The metal shavings thing really got to me, hearing that some of the peanuts that had gone through various factories had metal shavings in them.
Metal shavings trouble you more than, like, bug parts?
Yeah, because okay. You know, in many countries, bugs are a form of protein.
That's true.
We could get into
that's
that.
True.
Fried crickets
that's
in
true.
You know
that's
Western
true.
Southern
ant
Africa.
Ant larva is, you know, Mexican.
Yeah,
caviar
the,
in certain
what is it,
parts in certain regions
the,
of Mexico.
The worm, the big worm that you kind of eat as a you know, anyway.
Centipede?
Right.
Nah, it's something like Mapano. But anyway.
Delicious.
What is our takeaway from this, would you say? I mean, for people who are trying to be choosy shoppers.
I think you know where your food comes from. I personally like to shop as close to where I live as I can. It's not always possible for people. Five ingredients or less on the label is a good thing. And, you know, just be careful and all else fails, have a cheeseburger.
But on one little point there, the information that we need, maybe the information we need is how far removed from the actual picking in the field any given organic food substance is. That is the mystery.
Yeah,
you don't know. It all looks beautiful in the store, but there's a wide range of how old it actually is.
Right. There's a long supply chain and something, or you have to decide, do I want something organic from Chile or do I want something that's not organic that's, you know, from the Hudson Valley.
Maybe that's the change. Maybe that's the change that needs to be made. Maybe we need to know more about that.
Probably true.
How does this relate to socioeconomics as well? Because one of the things that someone said to me many years ago, and now there's some activism around this, is that if you live in the hood, you're not getting organic. I mean, there's no question. Whatever you get, you know, it's probably in a package to begin with. You don't get fresh foods as much. But even if you do get it, organics are not as much on the table. That's changing a little bit. But what do you see in this economy as a trend for organics, which are often more high priced?
Right, well, we're certainly seeing organics soften. You know, it was double-digit growth every year. Now it's slowed down, maybe 9% growth every year, which is, you know, still quite a bit. I think you're finding that people need to make different food choices. I do think, you know, obviously, if you're on a budget, that gallon of organic milk is going to seem like a choice you're not going to make. But then, you know, you look at all the money that we spend on, you know, expensive coffees, we spend on our cell phones, we spend on downloading certain songs. For me, I'd rather have, you know, some organic food than, you know, the latest, ringtone for my cell phone. But those are choices we all make at all economic levels.